pull up, get it. Live. Yeah. What's up? This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though. Right
here. A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat-out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else. Yeah. It's the Dolewhite Podcast.
I don't even know what episode this is or what it's going to be or when it's going to be released, but Dolewhite Podcast, my guest today. I'm happy to have you here. I've done your show. Now you're doing mine. You're returning the favor. Jerome Moore, what's good?
And that's how we're supposed to reciprocate. That's how we do it. Appreciate it, Dolewhite, man. How you been?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Man, just living, man. Just trying to, you know, black in America.
Yeah. You're an interesting person to me because you do a lot of topics almost kind of like what in line with this podcast that I do. Mm-hmm. You did one recently on Black and Jewish relations that I want you to speak on in a few minutes. But you've also, did I see you interview Governor Bill Lee, which seems opposite of everything you seem to believe in. I want to talk about all of this.
Yeah, that's coming. You know what I'm saying? We working with him right now, his team, his Secretary of Press to make that happen. So that's coming. And, you know, I come from an organizer's background, community economic development. That's like my professional sector right now. I'm in this media storytelling. Telling, really bringing that to the front and really inviting people into these conversations and also spotlighting people that's doing amazing work. And everybody has their own perspective on what that amazing work looks like when it comes to community, right?
Right.
Some people believe police are doing an amazing job. Some people are like, I don't want police. Some people believe your governor is doing everything you want him to do. And everybody like, I think we want a new governor, right? And so I lean into all of that because I believe, you know, I can have a sit down and dialogue with anybody just to understand that social perspective and where that comes from, but also get to know that man or that woman a little deeper past maybe their politics or their beliefs and maybe how their upbringing played a role into that or what they didn't see played a role into that or the growth of getting to that particular point that we maybe don't get to see them be vulnerable in all the time. We only see them at this, you know, these pedestals a lot of times. But also just getting people that, like, have a different type of social capital in the community. Like my guy, Raheem Buford, you know, he served 20, 25, 27 years in prison, right? But now he has the Unheard Voices Collective, which is dealing with felonism, empowering people who have been recently formerly incarcerated.
Right.
And so it looks different from different people depending on your experiences. And I like to talk to everybody, man, and just really explore humanities, man. I'm just an explorer.
That's dope, man. And I want to talk about this episode you did recently on Black and Jewish relations because that was a month or two ago with the Kyrie Irving stuff and the Kanye West stuff.
Yeah.
And I felt like during that time, there was a lot of misinformation. I've seen a couple of times a misquoted Hitler meme pop up on my timeline. I'm like, yo, like Hitler did not like black people. Like he wouldn't shake Jesse Owens' hand at the 36 Olympics in Germany. Yeah. Like, this is wrong.
Yeah.
So what did you learn from the episode? What would you say you learned from that particular episode?
The biggest thing I learned about my Jewish brothers and sisters in that community from the perspective of the two gentlemen that was there, Dr. Myers and Dr. Kilner, both Vanderbilt professors in Jewish studies.
Right.
Is that, you know, Jewish people don't see themselves as white, which is different.
Which is different because I think even white people see Jewish people. We don't know when a Jewish person is all white.
It's hard to identify like that person is Jewish or not. So like that's interesting because once you take a deeper dive, if they don't see themselves or identify themselves as white, they don't want to be associated with whiteness. Then that takes you into a deeper understanding of why they feel the way they do about certain things. For instance, we may feel like when something is anti-black, you know, things don't happen quick enough, right?
Right.
They feel the same way when something is anti-Semitic. Like, oh, why something? But they also have to deal with this dynamic of where we already believe as a society that they have this quote-unquote power and this quote-unquote control. So if a reaction does happen quick, it plays into that trope as well.
Right.
And so it's like they can't win really, you know? And so understanding that and that's the mentality that they're looking at things, it was really interesting because, you know, as a black person, you like, you know, you can't really get no worse than that in this country. Right. But, we're going to focus on our own oppression, you know, a little more than others. I just think naturally, but being able to sit down and talk about two communities that have a lot in common,
right?
That have a lot of coalition building historically, and understand where that coalition building started to separate. And a lot of that came with, you know, well, you know, Jews identify as white primarily, or that's how we see them.
Right.
Right. And so when you play that dynamic, it's like, well, like, you enjoy all the privileges of white people, so how can you really understand the struggle?
Do they get that? Did people you talk to get that they do benefit from whiteness?
Yeah. They call it out. They understand they do benefit from it, everything that comes with it, but but they say, hey, I do not consider myself white or do not identify. Like, we have a clip that's out that's going to, Dr. Kellner, he's going to, like, vividly come out and say, I do not consider myself white. Like, they defy it.
I feel like white supremacists don't feel like Jewish people are white either. Yeah. They are discriminated against by white supremacist groups.
And we talk about that, too, and just how they have, you know, terrorist attacks on them and their temples and things like that because they're Jewish. So it's a real interesting topic, but it's one that we really get into, like, a really kitchen table talk. Anything that, like, for example, I was like, hey, this is the things I heard about Jews growing up as a black person. You know, you got Farrakhan.
Right.
And then you got, well, they control media. They have all this money, and all these are just things that you just grew up learning, don't know how, you just hearing, they just embedded in your mind, and even through music, right? I got a Jewish lawyer, you know what I'm saying? I want to get, like, Jewish money. And so we talk about those things and how they feel about it, and what's their attitudes towards it. Is that something y'all celebrate? Is that something, like, y'all, is that, what kind of tropes are those? How do you all feel about it? You know, so we get into all of that, man. But again, I think it's just one of those things, like, if we don't do this, if we don't talk, if we don't really open up about these things in an intentional way, we'll just be guessing. We'll just be assuming. And so hopefully, you know, you had the Kyrie, you had a Yay situation, but then you have, like,
I mean, the Yay situation was way worse than anything Kyrie did. You know, I mean,
situation showed us, though, is that there's different consequences between being anti-black and anti-Semitic. Mm. Like, and we talk about that. Like, and I just plain, do you all believe there's a difference? And why is there a difference? Is it because of that whiteness, that white functionality that they have that we don't have? Because ideally, Kanye being anti-Semitic did what being anti-black wouldn't do. He wouldn't have lost no deals.
Right.
You know, he wouldn't, you know, like, he was done it before.
He was like, yeah, he was aligned with Candace Owens for a while now.
And
like,
slavery was a choice.
Yes.
You know? Yes. So we have that conversation, but I think it's a larger picture that we all as a community just need to look at, as far as, like, when it comes to just any kind of discrimination. Like, we all need to be treated fairly as far as what consequences or repercussions come with it. And whether you're black and somebody's condoning anti-blackness, you need to shut that down.
Right.
You know, and vice versa. If you're white and somebody's perpetuating white supremacy or shut it down.
Right.
And I think that's how we move forward. But as long as we all just keep letting it slide and making up excuses, it continues to happen. And another excuse to happen. And so hopefully people learn, especially black people, that one, black people can't be anti-black too. And secondly, white people need to know that black people can be anti-black too. Exactly. And we need to just shut that down and not give each other pass. We got to have grace with each other. But, you know what I'm saying? We can't give everybody a pass on these things or pass it in general, because once you get one pass, you got to give another pass. But yeah, man, it was an amazing conversation.
Out of all the shows you've done, I don't want to say which one was your favorite, but which topic really opened your eyes the most? I can say, I'll give you time to think about it, because I can say mine. I did an episode with a guy named Justin Baldoni. It was early episode.
Okay.
And he played on Jane the Virgin. He was an actor. He wrote a book called Undefining Masculinity, where he talks about things that we as men, that happened to all of us growing up with our boys when we're coming of age, and nobody, I had never heard anybody talk about these things before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm like, and when I started reading this book a little bit, my mind was blown. And then you go back and you think, like, yo, that was a traumatic period of time for me, and probably for every other male kid during that time. You know what I mean? And we don't talk about that trauma, and he's talking about that trauma. So for me, it was definitely that one, because he brought up things from my past that I had never even thought about in 20 years, 30 years, whatever it's been. Yeah.
How many episodes have you done?
God, I'm on, like, this is like 100 now, 99, 100, somewhere in there.
I think I'm like 150.
Wow.
So I'm crazy, right? And so, man, I ain't gonna lie, man, it's hard for me to think about which one's the best, but I'm gonna tell you which one I'm looking at.
I don't think it's about best. I think, like, it's about, like, which one, like, were you like,
hit
I didn't.
Me.
Yeah.
Like,
what hit you?
And, well, my goal is to, anytime I go into an interview, it's something, it's to feel that way after every interview.
Right.
Like, even at the interview that me and you had, like, I think that shocked a lot of people how vulnerable, even myself. Right. We even had a moment. It's like, yeah. You didn't expect me to say that, did you? Nah. I'm like, nah, I didn't. The Dr. Battle interview I did was amazing. It's exclusive right here. That's coming right now. Exclusive. This is the one I think anticipation. It's because where we are in the city, I'm interviewing the CEO of the Titans on February 20th.
Oh, wow.
And so we're going to get into, it's not going to be a football conversation.
Right.
Right. And if people don't know, it's going to be a community stadium. It's going to be that type of conversation. And we're going to get into that, like, privilege and what that means. And even though the Titans just hired the first general black manager for the Titans organization, like, we're going to get into those things. Right. Right. From an NFL perspective and what that means, because they've been on a social justice type of kind of ride wave since Kaepernick, and it's been commercialized, right?
Yeah.
I would say it's been commercialized. I mean,
they have like in racism on their helmets. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, that's,
it's commercialized.
It's cool. But like, what are you really doing, bro?
And so I think
Cap still never got to play again.
He's never got to play again. It's a wrap. It's a wrap for Cap.
I mean, it is at this point, yes. But then somebody should have picked his ass up. He was a capable quarterback.
I think that it's a fraternity. I think they're really so just tight. This is a sacrifice even around Super Bowl time, right? When you think about, like, when we see organizations, companies, and things like that having that type of responses to things that we, quote unquote, supposed to care about, like, how do we really show them we care about it, right? We stop supporting it.
Right.
Right. But it's hard for people to break away from it. It's hard for players to even do it, right? So let alone the consumer.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, I think we so content. A lot of us, I think we comfortable. Let's go back to Kanye West, right?
Okay.
I mean, let's go back to Kyrie Irving, right? We all talked about, okay, we know Kyrie's consequences was crazy, right? It was like a list of things. You have to, you know, kiss all the Jewish people's toes.
Right. It was wild.
Right. However, then we start talking about Jeff Bezos and Amazon and their role in it, right? And people was like, nobody called them out. Well, you know, the best way to call out Amazon is stop ordering packages.
Man.
But like, that's right. and what we always say, like, the people have the power, and we really do, but that power only comes with if we stop participating in the systems that support
this is one of those things where like everything you're saying is accurate.
Right.
And you're completely
right. So we
gotta
look at it. How much do we really care, though, right? That's the question. Yeah.
Do you care enough to leave to go to the grocery store instead of ordering it?
If you don't, well, like, maybe we all should just, you know, shut the hell up.
Wow.
Like, that's how I feel about it.
I feel you.
And that's the question I started asking myself about Black Lives Matter. I don't think I'm gonna be saying that anymore, personally.
Just because of what the organization?
Not even just the phrase in itself. I don't really think Black Lives Matter, personally. Like, I think as an individual, I want them to matter.
Right.
They care, but I don't think as a society, I don't think Black Lives Matter.
Right. And I think that was the point of
But I think, like, I still don't, like, even with that, calling it out hasn't changed.
You're right. And what they do, the opponents ended up making it about an organization.
Right.
Instead of just the message.
It became commercialized. Now you have like Juneteenth ice cream and that's what happens, like, because everybody wants to be on the same side of, I guess, the right side, I would say, of history, right? When you look back 50, 100 years, like, hey, we did this. We had a diversity, inclusion, and equity meetings and trainings and things like that. So I think it has got so commercialized that people are just doing it because they, like, is what are the consequences of doing it versus not doing it type of thing.
Right.
Like, it's become a business decision.
Yeah, and a couple of people have made bad business decisions. Yeah. I mean, you remember that Pepsi commercial with, was it Kylie Jenner or one of the Jenners? It was just bad.
Yeah.
Just a bad take.
And so, like, I love talking about those things. I love digging into people's kind of personal relationship with those things in general, with the deepest conversations. And, you know, ideally, man, you know what I really like, the ultimate goal for me is this is like, it's like a TV show, like, you know how Mike Rowe had Dirty Jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that, but with community based, where we highlight different community projects and organizers and activism, we following them around and we're doing the work,
right?
But we highlighting these things that people are are doing, but also like the life component. People are mothers and fathers and aunties and uncles, and like some people still have like their regular like professional job and doing this on the side, their mental health and all those components that, you know, we don't really see or think about on a day-to-day basis. We just want them to just do the work. And that goes for whether you're a police chief or a judge or a community organizer, right? I think, you know, we all have this life that we want to live. And unfortunately, the way that this United States was founded on, the things in this race and social constructs, we all kind of affected by it. And we all can't really live fulfilling lives, man, without thinking about this race component of it.
Right.
This
of course.
Culture thing upon it. It's just unfortunate, but this is it is what it is, man.
Real quick, last before I get you out of here. How did you get here? You mentioned you're a community organizer. You kind of
man, how much more time? Condensed version. So born and raised here, always knew I wanted to do something community oriented. Didn't really know what my lane was going to be. I just know I need to stay in proximity of building. So that was like community organizing, volunteering.
Right.
Did Peace Corps. Went to Paraguay.
Wow.
Paraguay. Shout out to Paraguay. Right. And so did that, and that's when the kind of floodgates opened. Like, oh shit, I can go abroad and do this.
Right.
As an American, and then as a Black American, learning and figuring out what that means. Right. And so ever since that, I lived in Costa Rica for a year. I lived in China for 2 years. I lived in the Philippines. Like, my life is really amazing.
We do a whole episode on this.
My life is really amazing, right? People don't know the half. They don't know the quarter of my life, right? But like all of those experiences, and I was in all of those places I've lived abroad, right? I was doing community economic development work with NGOs and nonprofits, right? And so what I realized is like, I'm meeting all these different people from all these different places. They know way more about me and my Americanism than I know about them. And then they have these assumptions and stereotypes. Then I just start having these conversations, right? Mm-hmm. So I started doing these things in Costa Rica and then really in China, because I met more people from all over the world in China than anywhere.
Wow.
And then I just brought that. I came back to Nashville in 2019 from China and brought it here, and then just got it popping like that, and just really started saying, well, I grew up in my North Nashville bubble. Like, how well do I know the community members throughout Middle Tennessee, throughout the greater Nashville area, and just invited y'all in to explore that with me. And so here we are.
That's so dope, man.
Yeah.
We gotta do another episode so you can tell me about. I love anything travel, anything overseas, anything.
I love
that shit. Like, I tell my wife every day, we can sell all our property and fucking move right now. And she never wants to do it.
You can be a DJ anywhere.
Yeah.
Technology.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, for real. But that's the goal, man, is just to start here and branch out, you know, throughout the country and throughout the world, and, you know, and see what happens and see what it takes me. But if I can travel and do it and explore, and then, of course, eat some pizza, man, all over the world, like, that's my dream.
I'm a pizza snob, too, bro. So let's do that real quick before I let you out of here. Best pizza in Nashville. Where are you going?
Don't do it.
See, this is the thing, though. I don't like that question either. Let me tell you why.
I don't like it.
And let me tell you why. Because pizza, there's so many versions of pizza, you know what I'm saying? So like, if you want Neapolitan, you might go to Desano. If you want something more classic, you might go to Nicky's. You want some deep dish, you go to 312.
You want
Nashville style, that's what I call Slim and Huskies. I call it Nashville style pizza. You go to Slim and Huskies,
and you got
to
break it up into the different categories.
Because
I think that's only fair, right? And so, but I give you my top five.
Okay, go for it.
Slimmer Huskies.
Of course.
312.
312 is amazing.
This is one people don't know about. It slept on. They recently moving, but Angelo's Pizza.
Where's that?
It was on Murfreesboro Road, right between Murfreesboro and Bell Road in Antioch.
Okay.
Near the bakery, and it's a Pizza Hut over there. It's like a double crust. Hey, look. Okay. The Angelo's, they moving to Smyrna, though.
Okay.
And so, unfortunately, I don't think I'm driving out to no Smurf, but Slimmer Huskies, 312, Angelo's, I like Mafiazzo's.
Okay.
And five, man, they no longer, they, I'm not just saying, but they no longer in existence, man. I like Joey's.
Joey's was amazing. Manny's is good too, but
Manny's,
I'm like,
right in the arcade.
Never go to the arcade though. Like,
my studio in the right by the arcade, so I'm at Manny's a lot.
Manny know you.
But yeah. But shout out.
Mine would be 312, Nicky's, Desano.
Okay.
There's a spot in West Nashville. I think there's one in Hendersonville too, called NY Pie. That's
okay.
Dope.
Yeah.
I'll mess with NY Pie. And then what did I say? Nikki's, Desano, 312, NY Pie. Mm-hmm. There's a Neapolitan spot right over here off of in Edge Hill too. I forgot the name of it. Bellinopoli, I think is the name of it.
Okay.
Bellinopoli's dope.
Look, I went to Italy Manny's for is great. Pizza.
Who you want? Who?
I went to Italy for pizza.
I did too. I've been to Italy. I got married in Italy.
Oh, snap. So I was.
I had world champion gelato in Italy.
Oh, me
no lie. I had to look for real. World championship gelato.
I ate gelato every day. I went to the Trevi Fountain and ate gelato.
I don't blame you.
Every day.
I eat gelato every time. Every time I go to Italy, I eat gelato every day. We've been to Sicily.
I only been once. See, Dolo White, moving different over there.
I went to Rome in 08. And we went back. We went all over Italy for our honeymoon and for our wedding. We actually got married over there. And then we went back after that and went to Sicily. And then we went back for my 40th birthday to the little town we got married in, because I didn't get to spend much time in that town.
I started in the Amalfi Coast.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, y'all go down to Amalfi.
We went to Amalfi Coast.
I started in the Amalfi Coast for a week and then made my way up to Naples and Pompeii, Naples, and then spent the rest of the time in Rome.
Yeah.
But yeah, different pizza too. Yeah. Even though that's the home of pizza, right? Yeah,
it's all different.
It's a whole different thing. But I like real deal. I don't like that cute pizza. I don't like that real deal.
I'm a snob.
Yeah,
bro.
Right, yeah.
Moto got good pizza too, if you ever been to Moto. Real quick, before I let you out of here, I got to tell you, next time you go to Italy, go to Sicily. It is the most interesting place I've ever been in my entire life. Not that I've been all over the planet.
Yeah,
but
Sicily,
Sicily is so dope because the north of Sicily is very European.
Right.
South has a big African influence because it's closer to Africa.
Yeah.
And I guess the east or the west, I'm not sure what direction that would be. But that's almost like Arabic.
Okay.
It's like a big Arabic influence. The dialect that they speak there is different than normal Italian. Like Sicily is
locked in.
Sicily is incredible. It's beautiful. The beaches are beautiful. So go to Sicily.
Just travel. You know,
go see the world.
Go see the world. Because there's some things like you can.
China,
you can,
that's crazy, can, man.
Whoo, that's a whole episode on China. 2 years in China. The most interesting place and people that I've ever been and interacted with in my life.
Do you speak Chinese?
I know a little Mandarin.
Yeah?
Yeah, I know a little Mandarin. Speak some Spanish, you know. In English.
Obviously.
In English. Yeah. So learn different languages, speak to people. And once I get to a place, I'm gonna be part time living in America. The world is too big.
It's too big.
It's
man.
Too big.
That's what I say.
Living
one place your whole life? Come on, man.
One country your whole life.
Your whole life. That's wild.
And America, Americans, we're unfortunate in this way. Our states are so big. And so it's not like Europe, right? It's not like where you can hop to one country.
We
can go anywhere. It's going to pretty much be the same language.
America's everywhere.
And so that's one of the unfortunate parts, in my perspective, just living in America is we don't get some of that cross-culture exchange as easily accessible in the places like Europe or even the continent of Africa.
Agreed.
Or Asia, because you can
spread out here.
Yeah. And we all Americans.
Yeah. Travel. Yeah. Travel is it opened. I would tell you, it opens your mind like nothing else in the world will.
If I didn't go to Peace Corps, I don't know if I'd be doing what I'm doing today.
Yeah. That's wild. Tell everybody where they can find, your shows.
Yeah. Deep Dish Conversations, Deep Dish Convos, the handle on everything. A Slice of the Community available on National Public Television. Go to YouTube, National Public Television, and you can find the podcast episodes on Deep Dish Conversations as well, wherever you listen to your podcast. So appreciate all the support and love. Thank you, Dolo White.
Man, thanks for coming
for the opportunity, and keep doing your thing, man.
I want to say thank you once again to my guest, Jerome Moore. Make sure you check out Deep Dish Conversations and everything he does. Incredibly dope individual. Proud to have him here in Nashville, man. Definitely appreciate you checking out. That was actually my 100th episode. Believe it or not, I didn't know that at the time that we recorded it, but we know now, and that was my 100th episode. So thank you for hanging in with me for 100 episodes, and hopefully I get back to releasing content on a weekly basis. Until then, it's going to be bi-weekly. So I'm back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. Thank you for checking out the podcast 100 times.